Welcome to episode 138 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Joining us is Brent Cassina, rotating panel with guests, and myself, Ian Levinstein, discuss whatever comes to mind time after time here on Comic Timing. It's just Brent and me shooting the shit because it's been a while. Get an episode out before November is over. That is our mission here. We talk about comic books and things related to comic books because this is a comic book podcast. You should remember that. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 138 of Comic Timing. And Brent Cassina on the road again, this time in Virginia via his iPad, using the fancy built-in mic on the iPad, which actually doesn't sound too bad.
No, actually, I'm using a set of Sony headphones with a microphone.
Oh, okay. All right. There you go.
Why I sound so decent. Otherwise, I'd probably sound like crap.
Yeah, the sound quality on that is not too shabby. You're just on hotel Wi-Fi, or?
Yeah. It might, actually, I'm trying to think of it. I tried to renew my login or whatever, but maybe around 9:30 or 10, it'll probably go out, and I'll probably disconnect and reconnect.
All right. Well, if that does happen, I will vamp, and you will reconnect when you are reconnected, and we'll
yes.
deal with it. So, we are a week removed from seeing each other in person for the first time in 2 years.
Yes. How's it been going? It's good to see you.
Yeah, no, it was good to see you too, man. You look just about what I remember. I mean, maybe a little wider, but, you know, other than that,
Maybe. You've definitely lost some weight.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you.
That city walking, I guess.
That's exactly what it is. Well, that and, you know, actually getting off my ass and using a treadmill every now and then. But yeah. It was a very, very awesome vacation, man. Like, I mean, we got done more in those 4 days than I fully expected us to be able to do, and we got the whole new Fantasyland experience at Magic Kingdom. It has absolutely nothing to do with comics, but I'm going to talk about it anyway because I had a
damn
good time.
Yeah. You deserve it.
Dude, no. When I booked this trip, I knew that New Fantasyland was opening up, you know, sometime soon. And then I realized that the preview started a week after we were there. I'm like, oh, fuck, you know? Like, no wonder the tickets were so cheap because, you know, obviously, if it's not open yet, the new attraction isn't open yet. Who the hell's going to want to go to Disney at this time? And then I realized they're doing a pre-preview and have been since, like, the beginning of October. And that was like, okay, that's cool. But I figured we're not going to get into Be Our Guest because why would they open a restaurant before they said that they're going to open the restaurant? Well, they opened the restaurant before they said that they were going to open the restaurant. And we were able to wait online to get reservations the day of and had reservations directly after the fireworks display at Magic Kingdom and sat down to a nice sort of French meal at Be Our Guest and had a absolutely terrific time and did Animal Kingdom with you and Mandy the day before and rode the dinosaur ride and laughed hysterically at the fact that it's, you know, a dinosaur ride for a movie that three people saw. And as you now see on our Facebook page, some amusing photos were taken while there. It was a great time, man. It's nice that that Orlando doesn't get cold until, like, you know, never.
Yes. Actually, it did cool off a little bit last week, but yeah.
It actually got colder on our last day. It was like maybe low 60s when we left on that Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, of course, you know, for you guys, it's like, oh, it's the end of the world. We're freezing. But, you know, we get back here and it's like 30. So,
yeah, we're like, oh, my God, we have to put on a jacket. What's this about? Crap.
Yeah, no, but it was a great time and it was fun watching my mom complain. So good times for all hopefully it'll be less than 2 years until I see you next time. But that all depends on whether you get your ass to New York.
Yes.
Which I've been saying to you for, you know, but it's okay. I'm all right with it. I don't feel slighted in the lightest. So, or slightest in the slightest. Is that a word? Is that a phrase? Whatever. So, what have you been up to, man?
Well, I have to say that your mom does not disappoint in the typical Jewish mother department.
Ah, yes, I know, right? Right? I wasn't over-exaggerating at all. Okay, you guys be careful. I'm just going to sit here and people watch for a bit. It was a little too intense for me the first time, so I'm just going to... Oh, and the worst part is, okay, so when we rode Star Tours with her, it was the first time we rode Star Tours when we were at Hollywood Studios. It was after we had eaten dinner, which, you know, was strike one because we were all filled with food and we were going on a motion simulator ride, which is never a good idea. But we get on the ride and my mom rides it with us because we figure it'll be tame enough for her. We get in there. And, like, within the first, like, 3 minutes of the ride, she's doing this, like, awkward, like, mom freak-out thing that she occasionally does. Well, I keep having to remind herself, you're not actually moving!
Well, you are. You're just not moving forward.
Right, exactly.
Everything else is correct.
Yeah, but she freaked us out and got us all with the agita and everything, and we both wound up puking afterwards, so that was good times. Yeah, but the second time we rode it on empty stomachs, and we were okay, and my mom sat that one out. That didn't have to happen again. But still, we had a good time with her and, you know, all that jazz. So
yeah, you get used to those motion simulators when you've done them. You know, a bunch of times.
Yeah, Mr. Simulator.
Yeah, especially me. I don't work on ones with any emotion, but the ones where it's, I mean, the motion that's on Star Tours and stuff like that's nowhere near what they put on the military ones.
Yeah, our second time around had a much better ride too, because for one thing, we didn't have Darth Vader try to stop us, which was just fucking stupid the first time around. It's like, why the hell would the Emperor be stopping you on your way out of a base? Like, come on. It was just some random droid. And then we had Admiral Akbar, and I think, the end was Boba Fett both times, but it was a lot more believable our second time.
Yeah, I don't think I ever got Darth Vader, right? We rode it like twice, I want to say. Since they've re-updated it or something,
right,
like that.
They refurbished the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Redid the whole 3D and everything. But I'm glad that I got to ride Captain EO. Well, not ride, but see Captain EO again before it's gone, because I have a feeling it will be soon, because they've gotten rid of all their Captain EO merchandise already.
Yeah, well, they did. I first went to Disney World. We were living in Virginia, and they had just gotten rid of it. It was recently closed or something like that because of all the sex scandals. This was in the 90s and stuff like that. But I guess they brought it back after he died, and I haven't been to Epcot since then, so I was interested to see it for the first time. As incredibly cheesy and, you know, 80s cheese it was,
it was so good, fun to
watch the first time.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, like, you got to respect it for what it is, because, I mean, come on, it's George Lucas and I think, who else? I think it's Zemeckis might have been involved with that as well.
No, not Oliver Stone, Coppola directed.
Coppola, there we go. Yeah. So George Lucas and Coppola, and seeing George Lucas back when he A, still had all of his hair, and B,
and only one chin.
Yeah, and only one chin is kind of insane. That's the whole reason to ride the ride, almost, just to see young George Lucas there. But the first time I ever went to Disney, it was already Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. So 2 years ago was the first time we saw Captain EO, and this time got to see it again, and I did the Muppet 3D over at Hollywood Studios, and that was also pretty cool. So did their whole 3D spectrum there with, like, getting quote unquote wet and rumbly and all that with their 4D effects.
Yeah, the Muppet. I really like the Muppet one.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to do the Toy Story one at MGM, or not MGM? Excuse me, Hollywood Studios.
No, that's the one ride we didn't do.
I still call it MGM.
Yeah,
it's MGM to me.
So does everybody. I mean, it's hard to get used to Hollywood Studios since it was MGM for so long. But no, we were going to, but by the time we got there, the fast passes had already sold out for the night, so we didn't wind up getting a chance to do that. But we did Tower of Terror. We did Star Tours, obviously. We did the Great Movie Ride. We did a lot of the other attractions. We didn't do the Rock and Roller Coaster after all, because A, the fast passes were gone, and B, I could do without it. But I did do the all the roller coasters at Magic Kingdom. So I did the what is it? The Great Mountain Railroad or whatever.
Big Thunder Mountain was open.
Yeah, Big Thunder Mountain was open. Yeah.
Yeah, they closed it down a couple months ago to do what? I don't know, but.
Yeah, no,
it was
open up. Yeah, no, because I'd never rode it before. It was a lot of fun. Yeah,
yeah,
and Space Mountain is Space Mountain, of course.
Of course.
So, let's talk about comics since we are a comic book podcast. So, what have you been reading lately, sir?
I've read all new X-Men.
Ooh, how was it?
I liked it. Very much so.
Good in Bendis-y.
Very, you know, a typical Bendis, I guess, and that's kind of why I was reading it, was because, you know, I know Bendis is a proven writer, and I've kind of been dabbling a little bit in the X-Men, like picking up stuff here and there, but not a ton, I guess you would say.
Right.
So I was like, all right, I'll you know, get the first issue, see how it goes, and go from there.
Especially since it does lead directly out of Avengers versus X-Men, which, you know, you did read, so it makes sense to at least give these a shot. Because you read, I mean, I know you did, because I read your copy of Uncanny Avengers as well, so you're into that. Of the two, which do you prefer so far?
I'll have to say, and this is giving the artist the benefit of the doubt, Uncanny X-Men with, or not Uncanny, but God damn it, they're bringing back another fucking Uncanny, all new X-Men, because Stuart Immonen is a proven artist that can get his shit together on time, unlike John Cassaday, who has had delays already after the first issue.
Yeah, I
know. And I'm like, how far ahead do they have to let this guy know that he actually has work to do? Like, seriously.
I think John Cassaday is still drawing covers for Superman Grounded.
No, I don't know what he's got going on, but I don't know if he's doing fill-in art on the motion comics for the Astonishing X-Men DVDs, because they're still doing those. They did the first series, and I think they've done up to all four. The first series is on Netflix, but I don't know about the ones after that. I'm interested to check all those out. But I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's taking up his time, or if he's just really painfully fucking slow.
I think Cassaday has to be one of those artists, and I mean, there's a bunch that, I mean, we've talked about this on the show before and talked about it in person also, that, like, there are some artists that really should just stick to graphic novels, and I feel like Cassaday's one of those guys. You know, just make sure to have everything done before you solicit it, and it's hard to do that with an ongoing series.
Well, they, you know, they're doing that with Brian Hitch. All his shit is done for this Age of Ultron event.
Right.
Unfortunately, he's not doing the whole thing. I was disappointed to hear that.
But... Oh, he's not?
No, he's doing the first 5 issues out of 10, and they're going to double ship every month, or triple ship or something like that. It's going to be fucking quick, is what they were saying.
Yeah, well, wasn't this whole thing supposed to happen, like, last year?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
I think if I remember correctly, Avengers vs. X-Men put this event on hold because, I mean, as we know... Avengers 12.1 was supposed to be the lead up to the Ultron War, and that came out last year and was then sent out again for Free Comic Book Day. So it doesn't make any sense to bring something out for Free Comic Book Day and then have the event happen a year later.
Right. So, so all of his stuff is done, and I know Pacheco is doing part of the. The next 5 has 2 artists on it. I know Pacheco's involved, and some other artist I can't remember. But apparently there's a story reason for the art change, so who knows?
All right. Okay.
They travel back in time. I don't know. But Pacheco I've been kind of sour on recently. He's not as good as he was when he was doing Batman Superman and stuff like that.
I liked his Uncanny stuff. He did a bunch of the issues of Uncanny X-Men near the end, and he did a really good job with that.
See, I read a couple of those or scanned through them or something, and I wasn't feeling it at all.
Yeah.
I felt like maybe he was... I don't know, maybe it was just an inker change or what.
It's possible, yeah. I mean, because I know sometimes he inks himself and sometimes he lets somebody else do it. So maybe that was it. But give me the summary of All New X-Men without being too spoilery, because I haven't read it yet.
Well, obviously the premise is that the 60s X-Men, or excuse me, 1990s X-Men with the sliding timeline. I don't know when these X-Men are from.
Ooh. Does that mean that they have like a shitload of pouches and it's the it's the Cyclops from the animated series?
It means they might actually know what smartphones are. We can skip that part of the book. But that pretty much is the preview pages that they released with Beast talking to them is the very end of the book.
Okay.
So the book kind of sets up a reason for, I don't know, maybe not a reason, but, you know, you can kind of see why Beast would go and he just kind of, like, jumps into time right all of a sudden. You don't see him go into a time machine or anything like that, per se.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. It's very good. The art is great. You know, Bendis, just interesting to watch him do the X-Men, I think.
No, that's cool. I mean, he's done them in passing a couple times. Like, he's done a few things here and there, but he hasn't had an actual full reign of the X-Men universe. And I mean, that's the whole point of Marvel now, is to, you know, change things up and have, you know, the same creators do new work. So it makes sense for him to maybe be on the other side of the Marvel universe for a while other people get to do the Avengers. Do we have, do you feel the characters are, I guess, personality-wise, still kind of what they were before? Or, like, is it obvious that this is a Bendis book?
I think so. It's still consistent. It's not as overtly Bendis-y as, stuff we may have read in the past. Mm-hmm. So
Not like New Avengers or anything like that?
No, okay. No, nowhere near like that.
Gotcha, okay. Are you like rubbing something when you speak? Because I hear like something that sounds like almost like a, I don't know if that's your facial hair or if that's
it might be. Let me sit up. Is this better?
Yeah, that's okay. That sounds better. Yeah, no, I was hearing something that sounded like a tape dispenser.
No. It's probably just rubbing against my chin or something like that. Yeah,
I have facial hair too.
Yes, you do.
And you got to see it in person. I just finished reading, because I just got my DCBS shipment yesterday. I actually, since you don't do this anymore, I don't know if you saw the email that DCBS gave people the option of changing their shipping day in order to get comics faster.
Oh, yeah.
So I now get my comics on the third week instead of the fourth week. So, pretty much the second to last week of comics every month is when I get mine shipped, and it's actually been coming faster. Like my comics used to ship on a Monday; they used to get to me on a Monday, and now they get to my mom's place on a Friday. So it is actually making a bit of a difference, and they can, you know, basically they split out the weekly customers from the monthly customers, mm-hmm, in order to make things faster, and it is making a lot of difference so far. So that's kind of cool, but
because are you still getting them once a month or biweekly?
I'm getting them once a month. Yeah. I've been doing them once a month for a while now, and that's the way I do it. It's just I get them on the third week of the month now, as opposed to the last week of the month. So there might be some issues that I don't get 1 month, and then I'll get two issues of that the next month. Like, freaking hell, man! I got three issues of Iron Man this month, because there was the final issue of Iron Man, and then there were two issues of the new series,
mm-hmm,
and those all came out this month. I had two issues of Captain America in this shipment, I think three issues of Spider-Man, and a whole bunch of other things. That's the only weird thing about getting on the third week, is that depending on the book, sometimes they'll have that awkward shipping schedule of like the fourth week and then the second week.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't get a comic for, you know, 2 months, but... you know, whatever, I'll deal with it. I have enough of a backlog where it's not going to make much of a difference anyway. But I read the final issue of Matt Fraction's Invincible Iron Man run, and it does a pretty good job of closing things out. However, I do have a little bit of an issue because, like, okay, so the past, I guess maybe like 8 issues of this series have been a Mandarin arc,
right,
where they've been doing their best to try to really bring things to a conclusion, because, you know, Mandarin was mentioned for a while in the comic, but you didn't really see him, and now you finally do, and Tony winds up a prisoner of the Mandarin, and we find out stuff. Do you mind if I spoil a little bit, or?
No, I've read it.
Oh, you did read it, okay.
Yeah, I kept up with Fraction outside of Comixology, so.
Okay, cool. I mean, I like the fact that they said that, you know, Mandarin was pretty much in Tony's backups the entire time, and that's why he was able to control him and all this jazz. But I felt like the last two issues of the series happened way too fast. Like, there was all this build up, and then in one issue, bam, climax. And then that second issue, the final issue of the series, was a mop-up issue where it felt like things were almost on autopilot.
Right.
You know, like, okay, so there's no more Mandarin, so we get to, you know, let's get rid of this character, let's put Tony here, let's get rid of this person's suit, and give things a new run for Kieran Gillen. It felt like I would have been happier if these two issues were 4 issues, which is weird because I'm often saying 4 issues should be 2 issues. But with Fraction here, I'm completely the opposite.
I did kind of feel that way. We had such a long build with Mandarin, and then we got like an, you know, the last half of an issue, and maybe a couple things there, and then they kind of wrapped it up at the end of that issue. I know we're being really vague and with issues and stuff. It must be a pain to listen to us.
Well, it was, like, yeah, what was it, like, you're like 629 it was, or something or other? Whatever the last issue was. Yeah,
I don't know what the number was, but they did wrap it up really fast. I agree with you there.
Yeah, and especially with some with a arc that felt like it was going for almost half of Fraction's run, you know? Like,
well, I thought that this was the master plan, and then it kind of – the master plan is Tony ends up in China at the Mandarin's behest and builds him machines.
Yeah.
I kind of lost it there with Fraction. I mean, I loved every issue of Iron Man up to that arc was fantastic.
Yeah.
For me, and you know, and let's not ignore the fact that Salvador La Roca did every issue of that run except for the annuals.
Yeah.
You know, props to the man. You know, as you know, whether people may have issues with him drawing Tony Stark like Josh Holloway or whatever, I don't care. It was a fantastic run, and I'll take him over Greg Land any day.
Well yeah, no, it's great. We go from Josh Holloway to porn star now, so that's really a step up.
Yes,
absolutely thrilled by that. Although he does seem to, from what I've seen from the previews, he is still drawing Pepper like a little bit of a Nicole Kidman slash whatever else Roca used as her base. So
honestly, there was a blonde in the first issue of Iron Man 1, and it looked just like Sue Storm from Ultimate Fantastic Four to me. So
same face,
same faces.
Well, and wasn't Sue Storm also his Jean Grey, if I remember correctly? Like he just changed the hair color to red.
Fairly sure, yeah.
Yeah, so, I was happy with the conclusion. I just felt like there could have been more there, and, I mean, I'd love to someday see more Matt Fraction Iron Man, but I'm also looking forward to seeing what Matt does on Fantastic Four, because Hickman's run, which I also finished out this week, I read the last issue of Fantastic Four, and then in this shipment, I had the final issue of FF, which was sort of the coda for the whole thing. That complete opposite feeling. This was absolutely the perfect conclusion, because this was, you felt like Fantastic Four and FF were actually going to conclusion issues for the last three or four issues, and we got there. Like the arc with the many reads finished up. You find out what happens to Dr. Doom. You find out what happens to the future versions of Franklin and Valeria. That gets cleaned up a little bit. You know, Grandpappy Richards goes and does his thing. So, you know, it's a little bit of a clean slate, but more in a natural fashion, which I was really enjoying there. You do not read this, correct?
I read Eagle Sham, a couple issues, and then they switched artists, and then I fell off the boat entirely.
Okay. I'd say if they ever have like one of those 99-cent sales on FF, I would give it a go, just because this story felt cohesive to me all the way through. Like, Hickman had an end plan, and whether or not this was his, you know, original idea to end it with these issues, like, it always felt like we were getting somewhere. Whether it be the stuff with the Negative Zone and Johnny, or whether it be the stuff with the Inhumans bringing back Black Bolt and Medusa, and having these other races of Inhumans that we had never seen before, sort of establishing that our Inhumans weren't necessarily the only ones that were affected by the Celestials and their seed, which was kind of cool, bringing that back into play. It was all like space timey wimey stuff in just the way that I like Hickman. Like, if you enjoy S.H.I.E.L.D., which I know you do, if it ever finishes.
Wait, what? S.H.I.E.L.D.? What's that about?
Yeah, and that's that book that came out for like, you know, 2 years and then fell off the face of the map. And
oh, S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, yeah.
It's gonna be a TV show. Joss Whedon's doing it.
Gotcha.
but if you enjoy that style, in fact, even there's even an issue of Fantastic Four with Da Vinci in it.
Mm-hmm. Like, he showed up in another book. I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah. Was it? Oh wait, no, it was Avengers. Yeah. Didn't he show up in either Avengers or New Avengers at one point? Because I remember Bendis used him.
Was it Bendis? I don't know. It might have been Nick Fury or something.
Maybe. But either way, though, it's definitely, like, I'm happy with the conclusion here. This felt like it was straight up leading to something, which was nice. What other books that that now have Marvel Now did you read to their conclusion? I mean, I know you mentioned in the pre-show conversation that you read Cap, but you didn't exactly enjoy it.
I did read Cap. I felt like the last 16 or 18 issues, whatever he did, were a little, you know, kind of like non-starters for me. I don't know why. Ever since they switched volumes and stuff like that, it just felt like Brubaker was out of it. And even listening to his interview on Word Balloon, or the couple that John put out, it sounded like he was ready, you know, not quite ready to wrap it up, but it didn't sound like he was really into it the last couple of years and stuff like that. So I don't know if he felt rushed or he's just distracted by other things. I think he said that it might have been, but for me, it wasn't hitting as good as it was when we were still in, you know, post Civil War Bucky and all this other stuff we had. That was, you know, the stuff he's going to be remembered for. I don't think he's going to be remembered for any issues of this latest volume, honestly.
I did enjoy the Winter Soldier stuff. I mean, talking about Bucky, the actual Winter Soldier series that's been coming out, which I know he's going to be ending, or at least his arc is going to be ending in another issue or two. I caught up on that. I read about eight issues in a sitting, and I really liked that. But it feels to me that that is the Cap that he wanted to write. And this and the Steve Rogers stuff kind of feels like he was shoehorned into doing it because of how popular he was. Like, maybe Marvel offered him a boat ton of money, and he was like, all right, fine, I'll continue it.
Yeah, honestly, I have no idea.
Yeah, because this was a lot more superhero than any of his previous Cap stuff. Like, it felt like a lot less espionage and a lot more, you know, people with funny heads and superhero plots of like, oh no, I've lost my powers, which I wasn't thrilled with that either.
Well, the other thing too was like, I got tired of, I forget what the last arc was, but it was the one after they had the machine that made all these people go crazy and stuff like that. And after that, I was kind of done with that volume. I was just checked out because it wasn't, you're right, it's more superhero-y than the spy stuff that he had been doing the last, you know, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years or something like that. And that's, to me, that's Brubaker's Cap, is the spy stuff he was doing. I don't know why they moved away from it towards this, you know, the red guy or whatever it was, and the Hydra and all this other stuff that didn't need to be there, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, at least we had Winter Soldier going into this. Were you reading the Winter Soldier stuff, or did you skip that?
No, I skipped it.
Okay, pick it up in trade or you know, collection or whatever you want to call it on Comixology, because I'm sure they're probably going to wind up doing it at some point. Mm-hmm. Just because this is, like, the Winter Soldier stuff, that is a lot more of what we were getting from the Cap book pre-return of Steve Rogers. Like, it's a lot more espionage, and Bucky is still Bucky, and there's a lot more Bucky and Black Widow stuff, which I don't know if you heard, but in Captain America 2, the movie, it looks like Black Widow is going to actually have a somewhat major part in this, which means that, you know, the Winter Soldier storyline that they're doing might actually be closer to the comics than even we thought.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we shall see. Let's move to DC a little bit. I did actually, you know, utilizing your skizzles, I did catch up on Blue Beetle to its natural issue number that it's at right now, which is like, what, 13 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of that?
It's okay. Not great. It's good. It's just not great. And that's kind of my issue with it. Like, I can't say that I like this better than the Blue Beetle that came before. You know, that's my problem.
Yeah, I can't say that either. I did like how we got to the Reach faster as a reboot. You know,
right?
I will say that I liked the black, not the Black Beetle, but, you know, Paco. That whole thing with him turning into the Red Beetle, and but it being part of Jamie, I thought that was an interesting take on things.
Yeah.
Hopefully that gets resolved or revisited in some way. I am enjoying him being on Reach World and kind of learning a little bit more about this species and stuff. But I don't think that it's better in any way than the last series. But I mean, that series did have 36 issues, and this is going to have, I don't know, 20, something like that.
Yeah,
not a whole lot. So,
well, the other problem that I had with it is that of the reboots of the New 52 titles, this was the one that felt the closest to a retread, because a lot of the stories that they were telling here were very similar to what was already told in Blue Beetle not too long ago. You know, like, Blue Beetle is still generally a... are you there? I think he dropped. Yep. I will hold that thought while Brent Cassina gets his internet connection back. At least I knew this was coming. All right.
There, like I said, hotel goodbye.
Yeah, you almost had it to the minute there.
Yeah, because I remember when I had to log in again last night. So
nice.
24 hours, my friend.
All right. So as I was saying, Blue Beetle is the series that feels the closest to a retread out of all of the New 52 titles,
mm-hmm.
Mainly because...
They didn't change much.
Right, they didn't change much, yeah. And all of these have been told less than, what? About 5 years ago. That's... Has it been 5 years now? Like, since Blue Beetle initially started?
Maybe less.
Okay, yeah. Enough to it.
2006 or 7 it started, so...
Yeah, all right. So we're getting pretty close to that now. But when something like that happens, I feel like you need to give a story that's at least a little bit different. Like, yeah, sure, you can have the origin be the same, but after that, maybe you can make things a little different. But they decided to go with the Reach again. And because, yeah, I know that the Reach were a very integral part of this version of Blue Beetle, but I feel like they might have had to go somewhere different in order for me to really separate this in my head from the Blue Beetle that came before it. So, yeah, that's kind of my problem here.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's good. I mean, the art's serviceable, and it read really well on the Comixology app. I mean, now that I have a Samsung Galaxy 8.9, it's big enough where I feel like I can actually read comics either in the tile view or the full page view and still get the bulk of the story. And Blue Beetle did work really well there. Red Hood and the Outsiders. Oh, I'm sorry, Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Close enough.
Yeah, close enough. I mean, that also, like, it's also sort of okay. Like, I like that. I actually like that a little bit more than I've been liking Blue Beetle. But it's still not anything that I'm probably going to wind up picking up myself, just because there's a reason that I hadn't read about six issues, and that's just because I just fell out of it. But when you're bored at work and you have a device that you could just, you know, read six issues on, you're going to go ahead and do that. I like what they did with Starfire a little bit more than they did initially, but the vagueness of Arsenal's history and the Nightwing and Starfire history is actually kind of bothering me as it goes along. Like, they say Teen Titans, now they're like, they were just a group of people that happened to be teenagers who were sort of Titan-like. You know, like, it's sort of like, just get your act together, DC, and make up your goddamn mind. Some of the Jason Todd stuff is kind of cool. I like that he's not entirely separate from Batman, even though he is. Like, he still respects Bruce, although he'll probably never work with him again. And I actually like the interaction between Tim and Jason that had been happening over the last issue or two. I know that they had that it proves that they're maybe a little bit more brother to brother than Dick and Todd, and I almost said Dick and Todd, Dick and Jason are. So that was kind of cool. But it's, you know, it's another one of those books where if it's there, I'll read it, but I'm not gonna like seek it out or anything.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been thinking about the last like six issues or so?
It's kind of waning for me. I'm kind of waiting to see where they go after the death in the family to really decide if, you know, they want to do something. What I'm kind of hoping is that we don't have to have another, I mean, I know this is totally not going to happen at all, mm-hmm. but I'm kind of hoping for not having to have another Bat crossover with every storyline that Scott Snyder does.
Right.
You know, I'm sure the Death of the Family stuff will be good. I'm sure it'll be interesting, but I kind of want to give people the space to breathe and, you know, and not, because, I mean, let's face it, they're all doing, you know, two or three issues of this tie-in when we could have done something else, and, you know, Snyder's story could have gone from five issues to six issues. I mean,
right.
Who knows?
Well, is every Bat title crossing over with it?
Pretty much. Even okay. Red Hood's getting – they're all getting like a Joker encounter in the next issue, okay. basically.
All right. Gotcha. Yeah. See, I haven't started reading it yet. I've got it on my backlog, and I'll probably wind up reading it over the next week or so. I know I have the Nightwing, the Batman, and the Batgirl, because those are the three that I'm still reading other than Batman Inc., because that's separate. I dropped Batman and Robin. I think at this point, I'm actually only reading, or at least quote-unquote reading, that is, you know, buying 12 of the 52. I think I'm down to 12 at this point, mm-hmm. and I think it's going to be even more than that. I dropped Flash, because the art's pretty, but the story just wasn't doing it for me anymore.
Really?
Yeah, it got like... And I hate to say this.
Gorilla
man.
City, I'm interested. Gorillas, I like gorillas.
Gorillas are cool. Gorillas are cool. Barry hasn't sold me yet.
No.
No. I can't do it. I can't.
The reason I like this version of the Flash is that it's not the Barry that Geoff Johns is trying to sell us, mm-hmm. and that's the one I really didn't like.
Right.
I like this Barry better than the one with all the history and stuff that we were getting, you know, pre-Flashpoint for 12 issues. That one I did not like because he wasn't a likable guy.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't have all the baggage, so I can read him anytime I want.
I prefer the Flash that I'm getting in Earth 2. I mean, really, like, that Jay Garrick is, like, one step away from Wally West.
Yeah, I am reading Earth 2. I am enjoying it.
Yeah, like...
Another thing that I think has turned around is Detective Comics.
Oh, yeah?
The first arc was really good with Tony Daniel, and then he kind of, you know, sloughed off a little bit. But John Layman from Chew fame came on board and has really turned it around with Jason Fabok, i.e. Finch clone, mm-hmm. on art. It's very good. And Finch's stuff on I've been kind of hearing a little bit about the stuff on The Dark Knight or whatever that title's called, and – you know, hearing that's been pretty good with, I don't know, not Houston, but some other horror writer, TV book writer came on and turned that around with Finch. And Vince Guyver's coming on, so I'm going to be buying those issues for sure.
I know you will, yeah. Let me know how that goes, man, because I can only read so many Batman titles.
They will be on the iPad, my friend.
All right,
count on that.
I'm actually considering just catching up. I mean, I tomorrow I work 1:30 to 9:30, so I'm probably going to get bored at work at one point or another. So I'll just fire up the tablet and read a little bit, and maybe I'll catch up on Detective or on Dark Knight, one of the others. But no, I'm glad to see that John Layman's doing well, man, because I'm a fan of Chew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The others that I stopped picking up, or at least I'm close to stopping, I have like 7 or 8 issues of New Guardians to read, and I really got to catch up on that so I could decide whether I'm going to drop it, because you know I'm a Kyle fan, but like I'm barely interested in the regular Green Lantern title right now, let alone that. I definitely dropped the GL Core because I didn't need it. But no, and Green Lantern, I caught up on that almost entirely. I think I'm one issue behind. This new character's weird. the Arab Green Lantern kind of feels like 90s Image is calling and they want their character design back.
Yeah, I'm not digging the full face mask.
Yeah. And the backstory.
It's like if you're not trying to make him a terrorist, then why does he have to be accused of terrorism?
Yeah.
And why does he have to have a full face mask?
It's like...
To look like a ski mask terrorist. I don't know.
Well, I look back at what they did with Batwing. Like, Batwing was a great idea. Batwing was a respectful idea to the culture and the heritage that they were looking to go with. And yet, when it comes to Green Lantern, they get a man who was accused of terrorism who brandishes guns all over the place. And what does his tattoo say? I know it says something.
Well, I want to say it's like courage or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Something along the lines of no fear.
Right, yeah. But it's just I don't know. Like this feels like it doesn't feel like it should be happening. If you know what I mean.
The weird thing for me though is that Geoff Johns is half Lebanese. That he did some sort of like store signing in Dearborn, and there's an internet video about it. And he talked about being. You know, like Muslim or I don't know, whoever you call it, Middle Eastern descent or something. Yeah. But to me, it's like he doesn't get it. You know, if he were an actual Muslim writing this, this guy would be a normal guy, just of Middle Eastern descent, just right. Like he probably should be.
Yeah.
If they're really trying to make a statement that, you know, equality or, you know, that they're repeople. I have Muslim friends and they're just totally fine people. They're nothing to be afraid of, sure. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the way they're putting this guy, he's kind of an ass, and you know they're kind of fulfilling the American stereotypes, and I'm not digging it, man.
Yeah,
well, it's just kind of why did he have to be accused of terrorism and interrogated, and you know was it really necessary?
Well, plus how long is he going to last? Because I mean you're still seeing Hal and Sinestro's story, at least a little bit, in Green Lantern. So you know that eventually they're going to break out of, where are they, the Netherworld or something like that, wherever the hell they are now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that they're going to get out of that situation eventually. I mean, that's not going to be a forever thing. So, and what do you think, speaking of Geoff Johns, are you going to read Justice League of America?
I probably will pick it up.
Okay.
Honestly, I'm digging Justice League with Tony Daniel. Those two issues were great.
Mm-hmm.
With the Cheetah and I forget what's coming next. Oh, the Aqua World or not, yeah. Aqua World, Water World. What's it called? Oh, sorry, Aquaman, Throne of Atlantis.
Yeah,
Water World crossover. I'm still enjoying Aquaman, and with Ivan Reis coming on board, I'm definitely sticking with that book.
Isn't it Yvonne Hayes?
Whatever. Whatever.
Potato, potato.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
No,
it's Sienkiewicz or Sienkiewicz. Potato, potato.
It's Miller, like Frank. I think I'm going to pick up maybe like two or three issues of Justice League of America because I look at that roster and it kind of makes me feel a little similar to what I'm reading in Green Lantern right now, like B-Team, you know? Like, this is something that... I mean, Justice League International, I stopped reading after a while because it didn't really interest me nearly as much. And you know that Justice League of America is not going to have Geoff Johns for the long term because he's Geoff Johns. He's everywhere.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking Aquaman might get the axe on that.
Didn't they say he was going to? I think he's leaving.
That
Aquaman
was the
soon?
Rumor was he was going to leave when Ivan Reis left.
Mm-hmm.
But that turns out not to be the case, at least up until this crossover
okay.
is done.
All right.
So we'll find out.
Yeah. And wait. And yeah, I got to ask you. So Vibe gets his own comic.
And Kitana?
And
what
Kitana.
The fuck?
Yeah. Because these are two heroes that we've all been clamoring for, right?
Because we have to cancel Blue Beetle to give Vibe his own book.
Yeah. Only one Hispanic per DC.
That was really what I was asking for.
I don't know. I mean, at least he's not going to break dance. Like, at least we don't have to worry about that. But,
or do we?
I mean, Kitana's a cool character, but I prefer Kitana in an Outsiders book or Birds of Prey over her own stuff because I don't know how she's going to carry it. Like, I don't know if she's a fleshed-out enough character to really carry her own solo title.
And it seems like she's kind of weirder in Birds of Prey right now than she was before.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit nuttier, I think, of what I've read of her.
I haven't been reading Birds of Prey, so I can't comment on that. But if you say so, man. The other, well, let's see. There, what else are they canceling? Like I forget. I forget what else is getting the axe. I don't.
The war book is leaving.
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah.
No one really thought that was going to go any longer.
Right.
Firestorm's
still going strong, right?
Apparently.
Well, good for them, man.
Dan Jurgens is going to, you know, party on, Wayne, kind of thing.
how long until Booster Gold shows up?
God bless this man, Dan Jurgens.
Dan the man.
Keep his fire going.
Yeah, no, he'll do anything you put him on. I mean, that's what's good about Dan Juergens is that he'll make, you know, anything work. It's just I dropped Firestorm ages ago, and it's not going to get me to pick it back up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, no. What else was there? There was at least one or two more that were getting the axe. It's just I can't remember what exactly. That spy book that's still. I mean, that just started, so that's not getting canceled. The one with Grifter and all the other dudes. You know what?
No, I think Grifter's done.
Oh, Grifter's done. Okay, that's what it is. Okay,
that might be the one that's ending soon.
Okay, and Hawkman. Hawkman. Is that?
I want to say Hawkman's still going.
Okay. All right. Wildcats, what do you think? Is that going to be what comes next? Because you got to have Grifter somewhere.
I'm thinking it's coming.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's coming. I'm surprised Deathstroke is still going, honestly.
Didn't they say that was another one that was going to get the axe?
Mm-hmm. I think it's still going.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Because I remember Liefeld tweeting about comics that were going to get canceled, and I know he said Blue Beetle, Grifter, and I forget what the third one was. Maybe it was Legion Lost?
Legion Lost is leaving, yes. Yeah. That's the one that's okay. Going bye-bye.
All right. Well.
And Hellblazer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thanks, DC. Because
we needed a cooler, softer, gentler John Constantine.
Yeah, he's going to be replaced by Heckvest. It's a stupid move. It is. I
think so.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying him in Justice League Dark. Like, when Lemire took over, I read a couple issues of those, and, mm-hmm. You know, he was fun there.
He's leaving already, though, Lemire, I think.
No.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's leaving.
I thought he was staying on.
Oh, you know what? Bleeding Cool said he was going to leave, and then Lemire said, shut the fuck up. that's what it was. Okay, yeah. Because Lemire had said something about it leaving one of the books he was on, and that was not it after all, so never mind.
I'm surprised Green Arrow's still going.
Well, they're not going to cancel Green Arrow, especially with the TV show.
If they didn't have a TV show, I'm pretty sure that would be the next one on the list.
Yeah. What do you think, by the way? I've been actually, like, every other episode I enjoy.
I think I've watched the first three, and I'm surprised by it. Consistently surprised about how not terrible it is, in a way that Smallville was, but I kept watching Smallville, and it was pretty, not pretty terrible, but, you know, it, we can all admit it wasn't a great show, and even less than it was a good show. It mm-hmm. was an average, sometimes terrible show.
Yeah.
Green Arrow is, or not Green Arrow, I wish they would call it Green Arrow. Arrow is a step above that.
Yeah.
For me, right now.
Well, the way that our friend of ours and the way that Chris put it is, this is better than it should be.
That's right. And I said that every episode.
Yeah. It's just every episode that does not involve, and this isn't just the comic nerd in me talking, every episode that is a original creation so far has kind of sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've had a few episodes that even if they were like obscure DC characters, they still involved DC characters. Like when they've tried to do, new gangsters that were made for the show so far, episode has sort of fallen flat for me. But when they've done stuff like Deathstroke.
Did you like how they combined Deadshot with Mr. Zazz?
Yes.
What was that about?
Oh, okay, okay.
And his eye patch is still terrible.
Were you the only one that realized that? I hope you realized that is that Ali was looking for the same department that Bruce worked with in Dark Knight and all those movies, the Applied Sciences Division.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like I mean, come on, make it a little more obvious that you want this to be a Batman show. Just go ahead, please.
No, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, no, it was. You know what? You probably haven't gotten to that episode. It might actually be the episode with Deathstroke. Now that I think about it, so yeah, you're still okay. Behind on that. But when you
I
get
just finished the last episode I watched was the Deadshot one.
Okay, yeah, Deathstroke is like three behind of it's three ahead of that. But when you get to that one, I'm almost certain that's the same episode where he looks for the Applied Sciences Division.
Okay.
And like immediately when he said that, I'm like, really, dude? Really? Like, did Bruce teach you that trick? Like,
no, it's called David Goyer whispered it in his ear.
Ah, there you go.
Executive producer.
Yeah. His sister's name is Speedy. That's stupid. uh, And ooh, that Tommy Merlin character. I wonder if he's going to be the Lex Luthor of the piece, because after all, there was an archer named Merlin who was on the other side of the law in the comics.
And I did see a preview today of another Dark Archer coming soon. Just, I wonder how that guy learned archery in the 5 years that Ollie did.
It actually, more than likely, is probably not going to be Merlin. They might be doing a plot similar to Everyman in the comics, because I did see on the list, on his list, one of the names was the dude who is Everyman in the comics. You know, the one that replaced Ollie at his wedding. Mm-hmm. So they might be doing a, like, evil archer type thing with that, like somebody who's actually going to try to impersonate him.
Wait, you mean one of the characters from that 52 series that actually made it out of the book alive?
Yeah, exactly. Until he died.
Until he died.
wait, Animal Man made it.
Until he, died.
No.
Oh, yeah, he did make it.
Yeah, Animal Man and Starfire.
Ralph died.
Yeah.
That's right. I forget.
And Lobo.
So many people dying. So little time.
Lobo lived.
Lobo, because he's important.
Yeah. Oh, so since we're talking DC and we're talking media properties, so news coming out today that, at least according to Bleeding Cool and a couple of other sites, that Joseph Gordon-Levitt has been signed to play Batman in the Justice League movie.
Newly refuted.
Newly refuted?
There's not an exact quote, but there's a quote from a website that indirectly quoted his agents that absolutely refuted that statement.
Okay, good. No, because like oh yeah, here we go. Bat rumor hits the rocks, it says here. So I think that might have actually cleared it up on that post itself.
Give Army Hammer his old job back.
Yeah,
for me.
Well, now it's a rumor with some sort of official denial resting against it. There's no direct quote offered, but Hollywood.com said that they checked in with Gordon-Levitt's rep to refuse the rumor entirely. Yes, you are correct. But they're still saying that the Man of Steel in that is probably going to wind up being Henry Cavill. Should there be a Justice League movie at all?
I think the silence speaks for itself.
Sounded like you were peeing there. What the fuck was that in the background? You pouring something out into a bottle?
I am pouring myself something.
Yeah, what do you got?
Taking a break here. Yeah. A little Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, Dr. Pepper, nice stuff. I think this is pathetic, actually. that's what I think of when I think of Justice League. Like, hey, let's rush to create a universe because Marvel made one successfully after planning it out for 10 years.
Well, what is their response going to be, though, honestly?
A shitty movie like Green Lantern?
The deck is stacked against them no matter what they do, because if they take their time and do it the way Marvel did it, everybody's going to say, that's the way they're doing it, the way Marvel did it. It's been done before. There's nothing new about this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Whereas if they go the opposite way and, you know, launch Man of Steel and then go into a Justice League movie, people are going to say what you're saying, that, oh, they shouldn't rush into it, they should do it the way Marvel there's really no way to win for them. I feel bad for Warner Brothers.
The only way for them to win is to actually come out with an amazing movie. I just don't see that happening. I mean, I haven't seen Man of Steel yet, and the trailer is going to be attached to The Hobbit, so I will be seeing a full trailer of it on opening night, because I just purchased my my 3D 48p tickets to the Hobbit.
Good for you, good man. Good for you.
Yes, indeed. Opening
Hopefully
night.
Hopefully, 48 frames per second works out.
I hope, man. Well, see, this is just it. Like, I'm okay with 48 frames per second in 3D. Because what does 3D do to begin with? 3D halves the frame rate,
right?
It halves the projection rate as well. So this is going to do is give me a 1080p image directly on the screen, which I'm perfectly okay with. So hopefully it'll wind up looking amazing and not like a soap opera. We shall see. But you know, either way, this is the first midnight movie that I'm going to in at least 3 years, maybe four.
Ian, are you comfortable risking your life going to a midnight movie?
Shut up. You sound like my mom.
No, that would be more like, Ian, are you comfortable risking your life for a midnight movie?
Oh, God, now that you've met her, you know. but no, well, the last, actually, you know what? The last midnight movie I went to was Iron Man 2, now that I think about it. I went to see Iron Man 2 midnight at in the city. That's the last one I went to. Mm-hmm. So this and this one I already took the next day off from work because I know I'm not going to get home until like 4 in the morning because The Hobbit's going to be like 3 hours.
Oh, longer.
Yeah. But no, once I see the trailer to that, you know, getting off of the ramble rant that I just went on there, once I see the trailer for Man of Steel, I'll get a better idea of what movie it's going to be. Whether or not the Henry Cavill Superman is going to play nice in a Justice League movie, that remains to be seen.
I think it depends. Our opinion will change depending on how he plays in a Superman movie.
Yeah. Ooh. I got it. Their Green Lantern is going to be Kyle, and their Flash is going to be Wally. Watch.
Superman dies right at the beginning of Justice League, and they bring back Superboy.
Oh, God.
And it's Tom Welling as Superboy.
Okay, you know what?
He can't get a regular job, so he comes back for Superman.
If that happens, if somehow you have just prophesized that, I'm looking for a new co-host, okay? Because that...
you don't think Tom Welling would make a good Superman?
No! Dude, I mean...
It's pretty telling he hasn't gotten a job since Smallville.
Yes! I mean, come on. He's going to wind up like Fred Savage. He's going to wind up directing, and I hope he gets a career out of that like Fred Savage did, because his acting career is dead, okay?
Fred Savage, Girl Meets World.
No, that's not Fred.
Ben Savage.
Yeah, it's Ben Savage. Hey, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, hey, Fred Savage could be executive producer.
He probably will be, more than likely.
All I know is the last time I saw Topanga, she'd gotten pretty heavy.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
So one more stop into the world of DC media, and that would be Young Justice.
Yes, where the fuck is my Young Justice?
Yeah. So we still haven't actually had explanation. I don't think we're going to.
It'll just be one of those things, man. If it ever comes back.
Well, they say it's coming back in January. I mean, that hasn't changed.
Right.
The main worry that I have, and I don't know if you saw this, the comic just got canceled.
I did see that.
That's never a good sign.
Recently featuring, or no, not recently. That wasn't the episode that didn't air that got yanked.
Stephanie Brown. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like DC.
It's the cards, damn it.
DC, you know how to fuck with us.
It certainly does. And when it comes back, I bet you it won't be Stephanie Brown anymore.
Well, they say that the reason it got on hiatus is a issue with the Milestone creators. Is that there's something about royalties that the Milestone creators have been fighting with. But, you know, this is all hearsay because we have absolutely no idea whether this is the case because no one has talked.
Okay, here's my issue with that. It's well known that DC gives royalty checks for the guys that created Bane, you know, Kevin Nolan and Chuck Dixon.
Right.
Have stated recently that they have seen money from Dark Knight Rises. Who else recently? Len Wein gets money off of, I don't know who he created for Batman. Denny O'Neill certainly has profited off of the last couple of Batman movies.
Chuck Dixon got money off of Bane as well.
Chuck Dixon, yeah. I think I said his name. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody who's done it, Neil Adams, you know, Ra's al Ghul and stuff like that have profited off of the Batman movies from creating characters and contributing to the mythos.
Right.
So I don't understand what the Milestone guys' issues are, even though it's apples to oranges, movies versus television series. I'm pretty sure that DC has a policy in place, and I don't know what the Milestone guys' creators, you know, issues are. The only ones that I know of are what's his face, all scratchy drawing guy. And another writer that were on the retrospective for, oh goodness, I can't remember his name.
Who, Dwayne McDuffie?
Dwayne McDuffie on the last animated DVD.
Yeah. Well, I heard, I mean, the right sting does actually go back to the comics themselves, not even necessarily the media, is because I know that they've been having talks about, you know, the license to use the Milestone characters, whether or not that it expires at any point, whether or not DC owns it outright, yada, yada, yada. Similar to what was happening with Superman and Superboy and all that jazz, you know, about a year or two back. If it is because of that, that could then stem to media as well. But from everything that I've heard, contracts are already in place for media. So that's a separate deal. So if Young Justice is being pulled for this, I say...
No, it can't possibly be that, because if that were the issue and they were going to pull the characters from the series... then we wouldn't get an episode for like another year at least.
Right.
Because it would take time out of their schedule to replace these episodes and, you know, rewrite them or edit them or get new animation, which would take much longer time than just being pushed back 6 months or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And from all we know, season two just finished production and it's good to go at this point. Like, it's entirely animated. And they're working on a Young Justice video game that's going to be coming out soon, with the voice actors. This is all coming from the website. Yeah, I don't know. It's one of these situations where I'm annoyed, mainly because the news broke during New York Comic Con. Like, that wasn't exactly the best time for them to do it.
Well, Cartoon Network, I don't think, had any idea when New York Comic Con was going on. Let's be honest.
They had presence at New York Comic Con.
They did?
Yeah, they did.
All right, maybe.
Yeah, they had panels at New York Comic Con. They had banners up at New York Comic Con. They did the whole shebang. But,
well, I guess Venture Brothers is big for them.
Yeah, and there was a DC Animation panel at New York Comic Con as well. And yeah, Adventure Time. Oh my God, Adventure Time. Holy shit, Adventure Time. I am very much into that show now. It's kind of awesome. You should watch it if you haven't.
Right. I'm going to watch a crappily animated show. No, thanks.
It's not actually crappily animated.
It looks like shit. Character designs, people, come on.
Dude, watch it. I'm serious. Give it its fair shot, okay? Because this show, not only is it humorous, but it actually has a rich continuity. Like, once you get into the show, like, once you get into it, you realize that they're actually working off previous episodes. They're not just one and done, you know? So it's worth giving it a shot just for the
story. I don't know. My cartoon characters need elbows.
Well, I'm saying don't knock it till you tried it, okay? Give it at least a couple episodes before you outright say it's not for you, all right? That's all I'm saying. If you get a shot, I know you got a lot of shit to watch. Give it at least 3 or 4 episodes and let me know what you think, all right?
All righty.
All right, cool. And they're only 15 minutes apiece, so that ain't going to take too long. So, I just watched before this. I am slowly catching up with Walking Dead. I'm now up to episode 9 of season 2. So, slowly but surely, I will make my way there. Probably actually by January, I would not be shocked if I'm all caught up, because...
That is the theme of that season, slowly...
Slowly catching up?
Slowly, but surely.
Yeah, that's the reason that I'm first watching season 2 now is because of that. Because after the first half of season 2, I could care less. Because it was
awful.
Yeah. But I'm aware that it apparently gets better.
Yes, very much.
Are you caught up?
I am caught up as of last Sunday.
Okay. All right. So action, actual shit going on, not just them sitting around
yes.
a barn. All right, good.
So a funny story, Mandy and I were hanging out with my buddy Jim, and me and Jim and I are, you know, always talk about Walking Dead. He's my geek brother at work.
Yeah.
God bless the man. We were talking about it, and he said, you know, you should have Mandy try and watch it. And I was like, yeah, I'll try it out. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, God.
So I let her watch the first episode of season 3 with me.
Yeah.
Or not let her, but asked her if she wanted to try it out.
let her. You can come in the room, honey.
asked her and said, you know, it's got really great drama. You might enjoy it. Give it a shot. And that was the episode where there was the most beheadings, gore, violence, because they were running into the prison and killing all the zombies. Needless to say, Mandy will not be watching another episode of Walking Dead with me ever again. My show is safe from the clutches of Mandy.
Nice. Well, so, well done, man. You picked well.
I picked well. That's right.
Well, Chris doesn't like zombies either, and yet she manages. Well, okay, she doesn't exactly like Walking Dead. She tolerates it. Mainly, like, okay, we liked the first season. We both liked the first season. But after season two, you know, it was a mutual agreement to not watch anymore for a while there just because it was not going anywhere. But the way she puts it is the same way that that folks online put it. It's like, this is an episode of Walking Dead. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Nothing happens.
Oh, shit, there's zombies. Something happens.
Yeah.
Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Oh, shit, cliffhanger.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. To a T. To a T, man. Like, yeah. Oh, cliffhanger, I gotta come back for more. It was how Lost had us three quarters of the time. You know, like, there'd be an episode of Lost and Hurley would go to a restaurant and then at the end, you would find out that John Locke was a monster. Like, that's the way that Lost worked, and that's what it does then.
Hurley goes to a restaurant. I like your summary.
I mean, come on. but yeah, and with Walking Dead, that's what we have too. Like, nothing. Oh shit, that just happened. Like oh no, like the episode that I just watched from season two. Oh no, what is it? Cajun guy from True Blood gets his face blown off. Like, that's right. that happened. Like, okay, all right, that'll keep me going here. And then that's the last episode that I just watched. So we're, I think, five away from finishing season two, and I'm pretty sure all of season three is on demand on AMC right now. So I should be able to catch up with that without illegal means, which will be nice. And then maybe I'll actually be watching it as it airs once things come close. Because now that I'm all caught up on Sons of Anarchy, I can go ahead and watch other things.
I do believe that. Number one, that we are missing Sons of Anarchy because of our conversation.
Yes.
Number two, what was I going to say? I do believe that they are stopping mid-season similar to...
They are, yes.
Last season, mm-hmm. The way they did it, so...
Yeah, because just like Lost, they know that they can milk us.
That's right.
A lot of comparisons to Lost when you think about it. Yeah, no, it's going there, I'm trying to think... Was there any other?
Oh, there was another fantastic piece of news today in the past week with Geek Media.
Yeah.
Number one, mm-hmm. Well, three things. Number one, Bryan Singer directing Days of Future Past X-Men.
Yes.
Let's hope it can be a return to glory and redeem The Last Stand.
I think it's going to because
First Class was excellent.
Yes,
he was a producer on First Class. Full faith in the man.
Mm-hmm.
Number two.
Yeah, here we go.
James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender returning for their roles for Days of Future Past.
Woo!
But you might say, Brent, are they going to age those ugly motherfuckers up?
But
no,
Brent.
I say no.
But Brent, are they going to age those motherfuckers?
No. For the future scenes, we will have none other than Sir Patrick Stewart and Sir Ian McKellen returning for their roles as Magneto and Charles Xavier. No word yet on the very busy Wolverine who might possibly have a Oscar for Les Mis.
Yes.
Who knows?
Well, and Beast will be in this as well.
Beast, yes. Okay, Beast, whatever.
Yeah, and
Jennifer Lawrence, maybe? Huh?
Yeah, no. But she's going to play her Hunger Games character, not this game. Yeah. Okay.
All right, maybe I'll take.
I'm Katniss. I was thrilled when I heard that. I mean, immediately I posted it to Facebook, both on the Comic Timing site and on my personal Facebook page, because, like, right away when I heard that news, like, you bring together the four best parts of both movies.
Whoa! Storm wasn't the best part for you?
No. My favorite part about Storm was the ever-changing
Storm's hair. Wasn't the best part for you?
Oh, yes. Which
Come
wig am
now.
I going to wear this movie? And yeah, Hugh Jackman's great and everything, but I would actually be perfectly okay if there was no Hugh Jackman in this, and if they reworked the story.
Say it ain't so, Ian.
Hey, or even better, this time he can say, no, seriously, fuck off. And then just leave and do something else. No, I'm cool with it. I mean, Patrick Stewart's getting up there in age, so is Ian McKellen, but now's the time to do it before they're too old to do it again.
I liked your John Oliver comment. I think that would be hilarious.
That I would love that. Absolutely. John, you're so dignified and refined all of a sudden. Patrick Stewart lives like 3 miles away from me now.
Was it just me, or was last night's episode of The Daily Show really weak?
It was, yeah. And especially with news that Wyatt Cenac is leaving at the end of December, that is very, very sad news to me. Because he's also like head writer.
Is he?
Yeah. So that means, John Oliver and Wyatt Cenac are co-head writers of The Daily Show. So without Wyatt there, might have a drop-off in quality a little bit.
I did not know that.
Yep. We shall see.
Much better than that loud screaming girl.
Which one?
The girl that's on there.
Oh, Kristen Schaal?
Yeah.
I like Kristen Schaal.
I don't.
Do you watch Bob's Burgers?
Do I watch? No.
That's another one that you might like. Well, did you ever used to watch Home Movies?
No.
Okay. All right, then you're a lost cause. You watch Archer, right?
No.
Oh my God. You watch, like, no animated TV.
I'm sorry. I barely watch Family Guy or South Park anymore.
That's all right. It's all good.
I have so many live-action stuff I need to watch.
Well, Bob's Burgers is worth watching at some point. I will say that. And it just got renewed for a new season. So, yay. As did Key and Peele.
I did like Key and Peele.
Key and Peele is good.
I like the anchor translator.
Yes, Luther. Luther.
Victory, bitch! What now, motherfuckers?
Well, I like that they actually pre-taped the Obama victory celebrations, and directly after Colbert that night.
Did they?
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Yeah. So, Shield TV show Ming-Na. What?
Who?
Ming-Na. Ming-Na from ER, from Stargate Universe, from Eureka. From a whole bunch of other things. Also, I'm pretty sure the voice of Mulan, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah.
What? Sure.
You know her. You've seen her.
I do.
Yeah, and she's going to be one of the main people in the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show.
Hopefully Colby Smulders. Probably not.
Yeah, good luck with that. Okay.
Good luck with How I Met Your Mother money.
Yeah.
For young S.H.I.E.L.D. money, I doubt it.
Kids, let me tell you about the time your Aunt Robin met Nick Fury.
Join the Avengers. Fuck, epic.
Well, I like that there are a lot of unknowns so far in the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. Like, a bunch of the names that they've announced so far really haven't done much, and I think that's a good way to just really make it an ensemble cast as opposed to, you know, this one dude is going to steal the show, you know, other than Coulson, that is.
Yes, Coulson.
Yeah. What do you think? LMD?
LMD, for sure. Yeah. Coulson!
Coulson! Coulson! You will be avenged! I will get the Avengers and you will be avenged!
Was it just me? Or was that Avengers Blu-ray really weak on special features?
It was.
I was disappointed heavily.
Yeah, you want to know why? Because they're saving it for the ginormous box set. Yeah.
Bullshit!
I know. Yeah. There are going to be extra deleted scenes on that fucking box set. Extra Thor scenes, extra Cap scenes, and I think extra Iron Man and Avengers scenes.
Well, I can pretty much guarantee I'm never going to pick that up, so.
Me too, because I own them all already, and I'm not going to double dip.
No.
Double dip. So, what else we got on tap?
What else is on tap?
Did any of the stores near you do Black Friday deals? Like any of the comic shops?
The one that did the signings did. I know that a couple of them did. A comic shop, the one featured on Bleeding Cool, mm-hmm. did some Black Friday sales, and then also gave away any new Marvel Now number one that wanted.
Wow.
I did not make it in on there. I was shopping for real things. Comixology had a big sale. Unfortunately, the DC stuff was the same as last year.
Oh.
Which I already bought all of it.
Boo.
As you can tell, you logged into my account.
Yes. Like, oh, Brent has been busy.
Yes. Holy shit, he likes Blackest Night.
Yeah, really.
The 99-cent sale this last year was the reason why.
Nice. Anyway. Yeah. Well, the store near me that actually had a deal, actually still did as of today, with an 8-day sale, Jim Hanley's in Manhattan had a 30% off everything in the store sale.
Wow.
Everything, meaning everything from trades to single issues to statues, T-shirts, the whole shebang. That ran from, I think, the Monday before Thanksgiving until today. And I bought for, I believe, $6, Saga, Volume 1.
Have you read it yet?
Have not yet. Chris has, however, and she liked it a lot.
It is very excellent. That's one of the things I'm buying digitally.
Yeah?
On a regular basis.
Nice. It's, I've heard amazing things so far, and, I mean, the trade, like, when it first came out was, like, almost impossible to find. It was, like, getting gobbled up, like, as fast as you could possibly put it. It was in the top 10 on Amazon for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that Brian K. Vaughan, he sure is popular.
He can write or something.
Yeah, I know. Like,
what's that about?
Out of nowhere, too. Like, I've never heard of this dude before.
Never.
And the art is damn pretty, too, so...
Yes.
I'm looking forward to getting my fingers into that.
I still have yet to read Superman Earth 2.
Yeah?
Volume 2. Or Earth 1, Volume
Earth
1.
1,
2,
Volume
whatever,
1.
Whatever 2. The new one is.
Yeah.
I've been on travel twice since I bought it and still haven't read it. Ah. It's in my backpack. I will get to it eventually.
I picked up from the library, and I haven't had a chance to get to it yet, but it's sitting there waiting to be read, Venom Volume 1. The volume one of was that Remender or Aaron? I forget.
Remender,
yeah. Yeah, the Remender stuff. And because, I liked him in Secret Avengers a lot, so I figured I might as well give it a go, and since it was in the library for free.
Most of those are on my iPad.
Nice.
So, after you read that, I definitely have up until Spider Island, and then maybe 3 issues after that picks up right until the end of Remender's run. Which is when I stopped buying it, because minimum carnage, fuck that.
Hey,
and Scarlet Spider, fuck him too.
Hey.
I don't like that book. I'm not digging it.
Yeah, you're not digging it?
They did the Houston, like, cowboy guy and weird villains, and after that, I just said, fuck this. This is stupid.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's nothing good to mine in Houston for Scarlet Spider other than recycled Spider-Man villains or people you've never heard of and or don't care about. So obviously, this book is not long for the tooth.
I can't quit a book called Scarlet Spider. I'm sorry. It brings me back, and I'm probably going to wind up picking it up as long as it's around.
I've read a lot of 90s comics, I guess. But I didn't read those, so yeah. Whatever. Speaking of Spider-Man, did you read 698, perchance?
I know what happened in it, so yeah, I can discuss it, because I did read the past, like, the last, like, 3 pages of it, because I saw them posted online.
That is also available for catch-up.
I know, but I just got the single issues myself in my shipment.
I do,
so
okay.
I can read those.
Good,
in
good.
My
I didn't know if you were picking that up or not.
Oh, yeah, no. I've been picking up Amazing Spider-Man regularly since pre-Civil War.
Yeah.
So.
Me too.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah. Let me just tell you what my... Okay, so spoilers for 698.
Yes.
If you haven't read it, then or you don't know what happened, obviously you haven't been on the internet in about a month.
Spoilers, the sled was Rosebud.
Yes. The alien comes out of the chest.
Yes.
And
we're not in Kansas anymore.
Yes.
All
right. So this was me reading the book. Reading it. Huh, that doesn't sound like Peter Parker. This issue I thought was supposed to be good. The writing seems off right now. read. What the fuck? read, bookends. And I'm left there going, What the fuck did I just read? It wasn't a loud what the fuck moment or oh my god, I can't believe they did that. It was literally just the way I just described it. Like
huh. Peter Parker, this was your life.
That's right.
Kind of Fight Club-ish, actually.
Yeah, so I'm really interested to see how the next two issues are, obviously.
You know, I'm still not convinced that the Spider-Man we are going to see in 700 is going to be the Doc Ock Spidey. Because
it could very well be somebody different.
I think...
Did you hear what happened to Peter Parker in that issue, though?
In 698?
Yes.
Well, I know that the mind swipe happens and that he's stuck in Doc Ock's body, yeah.
Okay, but you didn't hear anything after that?
No, I did not.
Do you want me to say?
Yeah, fuck it, go.
You
know what?
It's not as big of a what... The mind swap was a bigger what the fuck moment.
Okay, all
but
right.
This moment came so soon after it that it was almost like secondarily what the fuck, but almost glossed over because you're still thinking about the mind swap.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Doc Ock's body and Peter Parker appears to die a few panels after that. essentially Peter Parker is dead.
Well, because I saw the first like four pages of 700, and he's in the afterlife.
Right.
So I figured that must have happened. But also, it looks like he's leaving the afterlife, which makes me think that Peter's going to find his way back. And I'm more and more thinking that slip up that Dan had is going to be true. That the Spider-Man that we're going to see in Superior Spider-Man is going to be Miguel.
I'm not sure.
I mean, you know, we'll see, but and then we find out it's actually going to be just the 616 version of Miles Morales.
It could very well be if you read Spider-Man.
Yeah,
there is one out there.
There is, huh? Okay, all right.
But yeah, but I mean, it appears to Doc Ock appears to in Spider. Okay, this is so confusing.
Yeah.
Let me just talk about the characters as they're drawn.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, a.k.a. Doc Ock, with Peter's memories, sees Peter Parker in Doc Ock's frail, dead, you know, MODOK-like body, and says, "So long, Spider-Man," walks out the door, and they're kind of telegraphing that Doc Ock dies or breathes his last breath.
Yeah.
And with him, then so does Peter Parker's spirit.
Right.
But it's never confirmed. But the whole thing is it's Doc Ock's last moments, which is why they called him Spider-Man or Peter Parker or whatever. I'll let you read it, but it's not confirmed or yet denied, so kind of waiting for the next issue.
When does the next one come out? Next week?
I want to say next week, yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah, well, obviously you'll be getting it before me, so I can't wait. The other thing that is of interest to me is that people have pointed this out, is that this switch could have very well happened in issue 600.
I did, yeah, I did read that. I don't have 600 on my iPad, but I do have all the way up to Big Time.
Yeah.
But I was going to go back and download Ends of the Earth and see if there was anything in there, but honestly, I don't remember.
Well, 600, I remember that Peter puts on the control that like the almost like mind control device that that Doc Ock was using to control his arms like remotely, and Doc says that, you know, this is tuned to my mind, you know, you're never going to be able to break it, and then Peter winds up overpowering it and controlling it with his thoughts. So it's possible that might have been when the, you know, switch happened, or at least the infestation occurs.
I'm kind of also wondering if there was that, you know, there's that part of Spider-Man and Human Torch in space with Man-Wolf and all the little Octobots in there too.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think of that.
So I'm wondering if something was there.
Yeah, well, it's certainly reignited my interest in Spider-Man. I mean, not that I didn't enjoy it up till now, but this is... probably the Marvel Now title that I'm anticipating the most, Superior Spider-Man.
Yes, it's definitely one of mine as well.
Yeah, and especially with art by you know, Ryan Stegman. You know, actual man, I mean, a dude that I've been following since before he was big. I mean, how hipster of me to say, but I mean, I have a Red Devil drawing of Stegman from like three super shows ago. So,
<it's> holy nice. Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Amazing Spider-Man 600 is 103 pages.
Yeah.
And it's on Comixology for $1.99. Buy
wow.
now.
Wow. Nice. There you go. Boom.
Buy now.
Boom. Boom.
The bad thing I did here, though, is that Spider-Man 700.
Yeah.
Less pages, $7.99.
Oof. Yes.
Yeah.
See, and that's when it's a good thing that I still get my books from DCBS because I think I'm paying $4 for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though I'm still paying $4 for it.
I will be paying full price for that issue, no doubt.
Yeah, you're going to pay the same amount I paid for the trade paperback that I just bought. Thanks, Marvel.
Yeah, ass rapers.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Such is life.
I think the other reason I'm not jumping on a bunch of Marvel Now books too is because I know they're double shipping, and they're $3.99. So I'm kind of staying away from those until I actually want to read them or I hear good things about them to actually like go out and buy them. That because of that, because I know it'll be a bigger dent in my budget. Whereas right now I know I get, you know, Spider-Man is double shipping. That's okay. That's fine with me.
Yeah.
You know, all new X-Men I'm trying out. What else? Uncanny Avengers is going to be late, so I can afford to buy that one, I think.
Young Avengers. You are buying Young Avengers.
No, I'm not.
Dude, at least try the first issue. Come on. For me, try the first issue. It's Kieran Gillen, number one, and it's going to have, like, almost the entire team of Young Avengers from the previous run, plus some newbies, and...
And Kid Loki, who I did not read in Journey into Mystery.
I'm actually. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that. I actually borrowed that from a buddy of mine, so I'm gonna read that as well, just to see how it is, because I've heard great things, and it's like Tumblr's favorite book. So, looking forward to seeing why it makes girls squee. Yeah, no, give Young Avengers at least one issue, man. All right, just so we can talk about it.
All right, maybe. Right. Remind me.
Good. I will remind you because it's not coming out. It's not coming out until I think the month of my birthday anyway. So you can consider it a birthday present to me to read the frickin' book.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that's just
birthday
about
presents
it. Oh, the other I almost forgot. Where's the paper boy? I picked up as part of Amazon's Black Friday deals, and this was before actual Black Friday. I picked up Arkham Asylum for under $10.
Game of the Year edition?
Game of the Year edition.
Ah, so you got Harlequin too.
Yep. Sure did.
Fun. Yeah.
So that I'm getting that. In fact, it just shipped now, so it will be at my door probably in the next day or two, and I'm looking with eyes wide open for a Arkham City for cheap, but I'm probably going to wait until it's a Game of the Year, because it probably will be, and they'll probably add extra things in, and I'll be like, thank you, and you'll be like, you're welcome.
Wait a minute. What did you just buy? Arkham Asylum?
Yeah, Asylum.
Oh. No. I thought you said Arkham City.
No, because I haven't played Asylum yet, so I'm starting with Asylum, and then I'll do City.
Okay, there is an Arkham City Game of the Year edition that's out now.
Okay, all right.
That has the Harlequin's Revenge expansion and all the the challenge map packs and all this other shit.
Because Arkham Asylum also has added stuff in it versus the original edition. Like, I know that has
story. It has map packs and
characters. Okay. Gotcha.
I don't know if it has a character skin or not. I think PS3 actually got the Joker.
Okay. Let me see. I'm gonna look it up right now. The year edition, updated edition featured all of the original game, the extra challenge maps, Totally Insane, Nocturnal Hunter, Crime Alley, Scarecrow Nightmare, and the ability to play the game in 3D on any regular 2D television. Not that I'm going to ever do that.
You mean with blue and colored lenses?
Yeah. Whoop-dee shit. Yeah, but that's what I get. So I do get a couple of extra maps.
Mm-hmm.
So I will look forward to that. and I get to hear Kevin Conroy go, you know, "I am the knight" a couple more times, which is always good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. I think that's just about it. Unless you got anything else to add, sir?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, cool. Oh, one quick thing. I just pre-ordered, because it was just available on Amazon, and my mom owed me a Chanukah present, so I got both Dark Knight Rises on Blu-ray and the next volume of Invincible Ultimate Collection, which will be collecting up to issue 96. So, and that's not coming out till May. So wow. I just pre-ordered it now. It's not coming out till May.
So you'll be ready. You'll be ready.
I will certainly be ready, because God damn it, I want to see what the hell happens with that dinosaur.
So if it was in one order, does that mean you don't get Dark Knight Rises until Invincible comes out?
No, I'm a Prime member.
Because that would be awful.
Yeah, no, that would be terrible. Sometimes they're dicks about that, but if you're a Prime member, they ship it out separately every time.
Mm.
So yeah, I'll be getting Dark Knight Rises in about a week, and that'll come whenever it's out in May. As I slowly wait here while more issues of Invincible come out, and I, you know, get frustrated that I'll have to wait another year for another 10-12 issues, but that's the premium I pay by getting the oversized hardcovers.
Well, I waited 3 years for another Walking Dead Compendium edition, and it's finally out.
Oh yeah? Wow.
I'm not getting it yet. It's on my Christmas list.
Nice. Ho ho ho.
Someone feel free to email me and I can send you my address and you can ship it to me.
Oh, and major props, I did sell one of my sets of figures that I just posted about on the Comic Timing website, the Facebook website.
Oh, good. You got more replies about that than I did my whole comic collection from the Comic Timing website.
Well, was any of your stuff limited edition run 1500?
No.
Well, there you go.
Well, maybe some of those old Blue Beetle issues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really.
15,000. I'm sorry. No, not 1,500.
No, not 1,500. 15,000, not 1,500.
Maybe I should start adding how many copies they sold.
Yeah, there you go.
Edition.
Only 36,000 available. This
Blue
one was.
Beetle, volume one, average 36,000 available each issue. No. Limited edition.
Not counting newsstand sales. But yeah, no, that sold. I've still got one more set left, folks. So if you're looking, if you've got $85 burning the hole in your pocket, just shoot me a Facebook message and I will be happy to take it off your hands. Plus $5 shipping, so it'll be $90 in total. But these are limited edition White Lantern Sinestro and Black Lantern Hal Jordan figures that I picked up at C2E2 2 years ago. Picked up four of them, gave one to Raph, got one for me, and I'm selling off the two. Now I've sold off one, got one more left. I'd like to pay for all of my Christmas presents this year, so if you don't mind, that would be lovely. And I think that's just
about it. And if you were wetting your lips with that limited edition talk, and then Ian crushed your hopes and dreams by saying $85 when you only have $60, email me. And I will take the Walking Dead Compendium Volume 2 from you if you have $60 donating a hole in your pocket that you want to get rid of. I will gladly accept gifts.
Yes, yes. He will gladly...
As a reward for keeping the Comic Timing page updated on a regular basis with fun pictures and stories. Yes, and
he will gladly accept bribes. I mean gifts.
That's right.
And... When this this month has completed, probably about I don't know, maybe about halfway through thereabouts, maybe at the beginning of January, depending on when we're free, we will do our usual end of the year wrap up for Marvel and DC, and we can throw in some indies there as well if we so desire. We don't do it like normal places. We do it with questions that we fill in the answers to. Not multiple choice or anything like that, and we certainly don't do it as a list. So we will do that and probably have Chad Burdett join us because he's been wanting to join us for a while now, and I like having him on. and Chad.
And we only ever let him on once a year for these episodes. So.
It's true. It's true. or if he's in person at Super Show, then he winds up in person for that. So, yeah. Any further BK's Bullets? Or, sorry, BK's Bullets coming up?
I don't know. I never got any feedback on the video game one, so
I liked it. I liked it. No, you had a good
feedback other from you. I'm talking about the listeners if they cared.
Listeners,
maybe you should email me the downloads.
Yeah, listeners, if you care, please let us know at facebook.com/comictiming. Maybe we'll even post a thread that says, "Do you care?" And even if you don't care, put them out anyway because we need shit on the feed. But we'll have the interviews from New York Comic Con also coming soon. That got delayed partially due to Sandy because my entire schedule got mucked up with that. So once I actually edit the last like 5 interviews or so that I have, I will put them out. Apologies in advance because some of these are going to be a little bit outdated, but you can still check out the Kickstarters that were attached to some of the things that are discussed in this just by the clicking on the links that are going to be on the Comic Timing site, but you won't be able to do anything other than, you know, contact the people that have their book or did have their book available because a lot of this stuff is no longer active. But blame the weather, folks, this time.
it's like a pre-Sandy time capsule.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Remember when New York City was a little nicer? Yeah, good times. All right. That's just about it. I think I've said that 4 times now. Anything you'd like to add, Brent, real quick?
Nope.
All right. Well, the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums, which no longer exist, but please do so anyway at thecomicforums.com because Comic Geek Speak are very nice people, and I like frequenting them, and so does Brent on occasion, not really. and make sure to go to Super Show, because that's happening this year. So I will yet again be there, keeping up my streak, as will Raph. He will be there as well. He might even be there with a comic to sell, but that is still to be determined. But he is indeed working on that again.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he was going to be there with a girl.
Oh,
but well.
Well, he will be because Tammy is driving us both there, so that'll happen. But yeah, it'll be April 6th and 7th at the Greater Reading Expo Center. That's in 2013, obviously. We're not going back in time, and that'll be a Saturday and a Sunday. Show hours are 10 to 6 and 10 to 5, and there'll probably be a Friday event like there usually is. But I'm not entirely certain when I'm going to be there yet. I might be there Thursday night. Might only be there Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. We shall see. But you can purchase your tickets at cgssupershow.com if you so desire. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/comictiming. And the League of Comic Book Podcasts still exists at comicbooknoise.com/league. For Cassina, I'm Levinstein, reminding everybody out there that there's always time for comics. Hope you enjoyed your turkey day and that you have already burned off the 5 pounds that you have gained.